Hallelujah. I will sing of the goodness of God. How many can say in here this morning, He has been faithful? Hallelujah. And if you believe that, I loved what Sabrina said, even when it doesn't look like at the time that His goodness is running after me, how many know we have God's favor in our life? Amen. And that He's bringing all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful to be here this morning, thankful for the worship, thankful for His presence in our lives. Amen. And I'm thankful for His goodness. He's a good, good Father. He's a good, good Father and a very present help in the time of trouble. Amen. We've been sharing out of the book of Acts for some season now and talking about action figures. Have you ever played with action figures when you grew up? And they were usually some kind of a superhero or a G.I. Joe or, I don't know, is Barbie considered an action figure? I don't really know about that, but action figures. How many know the book of Acts is all about the acts of the apostles? Or the actions of the apostles. So they were probably the original action figures, right? Amen. I mean, no, they had superpowers. Mm-hmm. They had the Holy Ghost. There you go. They had the infilling presence and power of the Holy Spirit. How many know you have the presence of the Holy Spirit? Amen. Hallelujah. And word translates to the dudamus. It means the dynamite power of God. Anybody remember that show when he said dynamite? A few of you do. Oh, JJ said dynamite, right? Hallelujah. The rest of you will have to Google it and figure it out on there. But how many know we have the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit? And the book of Acts is all about activated Christians, activated followers of Jesus who went to the upper room to be endued with power from on high. Amen. He said, I want you to go to the upper room and I want you to tarry there until you be endued with power from on high. And do you know that the Peter that we see after the upper room is not the same guy we saw prior to that? How many know there was an activation of something that took place in Peter? There was something that was activated in the disciples. He said to them, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I'm not going to leave you by yourself, but I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and He will lead and guide you into all truth. And so we see from the very beginning that God takes men of like faith, men and women, 120 in an upper room, and He begins to activate them by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they in turn began to set the world on fire. I mean, He said, I will send you even to the ends of the earth. Not just to the Jew, not just to the Gentile. No longer is the gospel or the scrolls or no longer is it just a man-made system or no longer is it just the Mosaic system of doing things. But Jesus said that I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. How many of you believe in here that you can have the abundant life? Dan ministered one time on that. Abundant means more than enough. Hallelujah. How many know God is just too much sometimes? He's more than enough. And so the activated presence of the Holy Spirit. And so they began to be witnesses of me in Judea and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. How many know that's how we got the gospel? Yeah. Because people, just like you and I, were activated through the power and the presence of Holy Spirit to tell their testimony, their encounter with Jesus, and to lead others to know the power of the cross. I mean, there was a great price paid for that. Not only do we see the lives of all of the apostles and those in the book of Acts, but we also see the martyrdom of those who spoke and gave the same message that you are hearing this morning, but lost their lives and paid the price for us to be able to hear this message. I mean, no, the great price was paid for us to be able to do what we do today. The gathering of the corporate body in the house of the Lord. I don't take it lightly for the privilege to be gathered in this house today and the freedom to worship as we choose and the freedom to flow in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. How many know it's precious, it's vital, and it's ours, and it's a privilege to do that. So, you know, there's many, many media, there's many avenues to hear the gospel, and those are all wonderful. But I don't believe that they're a total substitute for the gathering of the saints. Amen? The scripture says, fail not to assemble yourself together. Right? There's something that happens in the assembling. Anybody ever buy anything in a box and it came in parts and it said some assembly required? Anybody ever had to put together one of those kitchen sets on Christmas Eve, or bicycles, or racetracks, or Thomas the Train tables, or whatever, and you get it, and the directions are in every language you can think of except English, and you can't understand it when it's written in English, you know, and or parts are missing, or whatever. How many know there's some assembly required? How many know it is there? It has the potential to be a bicycle, but until you put the wheels on it, until it has the coming together, it's not functional as it should be. Amen? It's in parts, but it's not functional as it should be. I believe that there's something that happens in the assembling of coming together that makes the body of Christ functional. It's the refreshing. It's the pouring out. It's the gathering. It's the ministry that happens in the house. How many know just taking the time to focus, set aside some time and just focus on Jesus, just to focus on the presence of the Lord, just to be able to clear your mind for a little while of everything else and to remember that your goodness is running after me. All my life, you have been faithful to me. Hallelujah. And as we're reminded of those things, God, you are a faithful God. Hallelujah. And so that encouragement that happens, I believe, when we come in together is priceless. So Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and he said, men and brethren, these are not drunk as you suppose, seeks the middle of the afternoon. But this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour out my spirit. Now get this, on all flesh. How many know that was a transitional thought? Up to that point, how many know the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, were God's chosen, God's elect, God, his spirit was with them. He said, but I'm about to take my spirit to the ends of the earth. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And get this, he said, your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. And we sometimes have conflict with that, and I don't know where we get conflict at with it, but how many know Jesus, the scripture says there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male or female, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. That we are all an oracle of God, and that he has made us one through the blood of the cross. And so Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost, and he preaches, and 3,000 souls are added to the kingdom. How many know that's not the Peter prior to the cross? That's not the Peter who went away sorrowful. That's not the Peter who lived in guilt for a little while. That's not the same guy that wanted to rebuke Jesus when he said, you know, I'm going to smite the shepherd and the sheep are going to scatter. And Peter wanted to pull him aside and say, Lord, don't say such things. And Jesus says to him, get behind me, Satan. And in the same context, he's the one who Jesus says to him, Peter, who do men say that I am? And he said, well, they say you're Elijah's. They say that you're a prophet. Some say, you know, they say all kind of things about you, Jesus. He said, Peter, but who do you say that I am? He said, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven has made this known to you. And upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. How many know he's not talking about he's just going to build his church on Peter? And Peter is a cornerstone of that. But he's building his church on the revelation that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yep. Hallelujah. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against the revelation of who Jesus is. And it's in the same context when Peter pulls Jesus aside. And for the moment, Peter is Time Magazine Man of the Year. Man, I got the revelation. And in the same chapter, I believe it is, he pulls Jesus aside. And Jesus looks at him and says, get behind me, Satan. Because how many know Peter did not have a total revelation or a total understanding of who Jesus was? But Jesus, I believe, with Peter, constantly reminded him. He said, Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. Yeah. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail you not. Anybody ever seen wheat sifted? Amen. Winnowing or threshing of wheat? They throw it up in the air when it's windy and let the chaff blow the wind blow the chaff away and let the wheat fall back down. Anybody ever felt like you've been sifted? Anybody ever feel like you've been on the threshing floor or winnowed a little bit? Feel like you've been tossed in the air? But how many know what Jesus does with that? When they do that, it blows the chaff, the part that's not necessary, away, and the full grain is what falls back to be harvested. So Jesus continually speaks to him, and I love the power of that. I love how Jesus ministers not only to the multitude, but he ministers to his own. You know, the cabinet members, those who are the closest to him. And so we see Peter stand up on the day of Pentecost and he preaches, and 3,000 souls are added to the kingdom. How many know that's a pretty successful revival meeting for your first time out? Yeah, yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. And how many know it says they were added to the church daily? But we next thing we see, and again, we're talking about active action figures. We're talking about activated presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. He comes to the man who's laying by the gate, beautiful. And he is begging alms from the people who are going into the temple. And Peter and John lay eyes on the man who's laying there, impotent, unable to move, and crippled. And he says to them, silver and gold, what? Have I none, but such as I have. What do I got? What do I have? The infilling power of the Holy Spirit. But such as I have, what? Give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. How many know that is a picture of humanity and the situation of the people of that day, that they were crippled and laying on the edge of something? How many know Jesus is about to introduce a brand new day and they're living on the edge of something and not feeling like they're able to go in and possess that? But there came somebody full of the Holy Ghost that said, you have laid here in this situation, but I say unto you, silver and gold won't get you there, but what I have will, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up on your feet and walk into all that God has provided for you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Activated action figures. What I have will mean more to you than silver and gold. How many of you can say the presence of Jesus in your life is way more powerful and more precious than any silver or gold? You can have all the money in the world and not have your health, and it means nothing to you. You can have all the money in the world and not have family or have people that love you, and it means nothing to you. Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord is precious and it's valuable. And then we have Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, who begins to preach the message of the gospel. And how many know they stoned Stephen? And Saul holds the coats and the garments of the people who are actively stoning him, thinking he's on a mission, an assignment from God. Hallelujah. And Stephen gives his life for the gospel. Peter is on the roof, and he has a vision of a sheet that's let down in the four corners. And on that sheet is all kinds of clean and unclean animals. And I don't have time to preach all of that today, but how many know, as a good Jewish boy that Peter was, he was not allowed to eat anything that was not kosher or unclean. No pork chop, no bacon, no seafood. And if you ever really study the laws of cleanliness and eating and all of that stuff under the Jewish covenant, it is very strict and very, a lot of rules with that. And he says to him, Peter, rise and eat. And Peter says back to God, not so, Lord, because I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And the Spirit speaks to Peter and said, do not call what I have cleansed common or unclean. And it's about that time that a knock on the door of Cornelius, and he sends people there and said, Peter, will you come to our house? I mean, Peter is not allowed to go into the house of a Gentile. And if you go into the house of the Gentile, don't eat with them. And Peter goes down to the house of a Gentile, and he eats with them, and they say, what is going on in Jerusalem? What is happening? And Peter starts to preach the message of the cross and just tell them about Jesus. And when he does, the Holy Ghost falls. The Gentiles get filled with the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, full of the Spirit. He said, well, I guess we better baptize them now because they already got the Holy Ghost. That ain't normally how we do things. Don't you just love it when God mixes it up and doesn't do it like we do things? And he goes back to the Jewish council, and the Jewish council says, what are you doing? Why are you in the house of Cornelius? Why are you in the house of a Gentile? Why are you eating? And how in the world did the Gentiles get the Holy Ghost? He said, all I know is I preached Jesus, and the Holy Ghost fell. I'm telling you, I am so passionate about that mindset in this day. If we'll just preach Jesus, it's not about rules and regulations, and it's not about all of the things that we have formalized and made religion. It's about a relationship and an encounter with Jesus where you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have encountered Jesus. Hallelujah. And the presence of God falls. If we'll just preach Jesus, let me just tell you, he's big enough to take care of every other situation or crisis that's going on in our country, in our families, in our own hearts. If we'll let Jesus be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, hallelujah. He said, I just preached Jesus. And the whole house got filled with the Holy Ghost. So we baptized him because we didn't know what else to do. Hallelujah. But it's right after that that Saul was on his way with papers in his hand to arrest the Christians in Damascus and bring them, drag them back, one count says, for trial for being guilty of being Christians and following the way of Jesus. Hallelujah. How many know there's a difference between religion and relationship? Hallelujah. And we sometimes get the two mixed up. But if Jesus is not the forefront of what you hear and what you see and what is preached, then it's probably not the gospel. The gospel is the good news. It's the whosoever will. See, I love it when God takes us outside of our box and he begins to anoint those who don't look like they could be anointed. And he starts to save those who he never thought he would save. And he starts to change the hearts of people that we never thought could be changed. That's the power of the gospel. That's what the gospel does. It doesn't point out your flaws. It points out all those things about you that are right with God. Hallelujah. I could stand up here and tell you all that you're dirty, rotten scoundrels today, and you'd go out of here feeling defeated and your tail tucked between your legs. Or I can tell you, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that you are born again, that you are salt, you are light, you are powerful, you are anointed, you are called, you are purposed, and you are activated. You are action figures. and you just might go out and believe it and join yourself to someone's chariot like Philip did. And when you join yourself to their chariot, he said, Philip, go join yourself to the chariot of that Ethiopian eunuch. And he's reading the scrolls of Isaiah. And he said, sir, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I unless somebody reveal it to me? And said, Philip just joined himself to the chariot, and he started to tell him about Jesus. I mean, now you can join yourself to somebody's chariot and just tell them about Jesus. Hallelujah. And the presence of God is able to touch and change their lives. Anybody in here ever had a God moment? A divine appointment? Where you sometimes find yourself in a place and God moves in the middle of it and you say, that was a God moment. That was a divine connection. Hallelujah. I go to yard sales and have divine connections. Amen. Not just with the yard sale stuff, but I'll run into somebody there. I run into a lady the other day and she said, I've been thinking about coming to your church. And I said, please do. I would love to have you come. That would make my day. Who knows that her just seeing my face might put that on her mind and maybe some Sunday come walk and ask, please do. I would love to have you there. Hallelujah. We don't know. And I walked away from there and said, thank you, Lord, for divine connections. Because I believe God connects the dots in our life and puts us in places where we can attach ourselves to their chariot. Hallelujah. I had a precious moment with Joe's mom the other day at the hospital, and she was having some trouble with dizziness and stuff. And so I said, just close your eyes, Miss Frances. You don't have to try to entertain me or talk with me. I said, but how about if I just read you some scriptures? And she said, oh, I'd love that. So I brought up the app on my phone all about scriptures of peace, and I started to read it to her, and she said, peace, that's what I need. I said, yes, ma'am. And we'd read one. She'd say, that's good. And I said, let me read that one again. And we read that one again, and we read the 23rd Psalm, and she quoted it with me. Precious times. I want to tell you, the power of the Holy Spirit can be activated, and when you are weak or you're sick or you're struggling, and somebody can join themselves to your chariot and activate the presence of God and remind you of what the Word says and remind you of what the Scripture says, there's power in the name of Jesus. Yep. There's power in the name of Jesus. See, I don't want a gospel without power. I don't want a gospel without presence. I want to know when I'm driving down the road and the right worship song comes on and the tears start to flow, I know it's presence. I want to know when I'm reading the Word or when I'm praying and I feel it come over me. It's like, that's presence. Hallelujah. And every one of us have access to me. That's not something the pastor gets when they sign on. That's not something that certain people get. Everybody has that. That presence, that anointing of the Holy Spirit. Jim mentioned a while ago, we went to the funeral of Sister Margie Maldonado the other day. And what a legacy they told of just people got up and testified of the power of connection that she had in her life and how that she would pray in the Holy Ghost and how that she would worship and how she'd walk over to somebody and just lay hands on them, prophesy and point to them and just keep on going. And the one young man said, she pointed to me and said, you're going to be in full-time ministry. And he said, I was not even sure I knew what I was doing. He said, I was a bit of a character then. And he said, the Lord brought that back to me years later. And when she pointed that finger to me again and prophesied over me, and I remembered the word of the Lord that she spoke, and it had come to pass. Hallelujah. They asked me to come up and share a memory. On the spot, I didn't know they were going to say anything. I really didn't have necessarily a memory to share, you know, in the moment. And so, and Roger Legg said, I'm going to ask Pastor Lisa to come up and share. I said, help me, Holy Ghost. And he did. When I stepped up and held the microphone, God gave me words to share and words to speak. That's what the Holy Ghost will do for you. Hallelujah. If ever there was a woman that exemplified Deborah in the Scriptures. How many know Deborah was the prophetess in the book of Judges when it wasn't popular for women to speak? She was a judge and a prophet in that time. And she told Barak, she said, you're going to go to battle and God's going to give you victory. And he said, I'm not going to battle unless you go with me. Yep, yep, yep. There must have been a lot of confidence in Deborah. Amen? Huh? Or fear of not having her. And he said, I'm not going to go unless you go with me. See, it's one thing to lay hands on somebody and say, thus saith the Lord, you're going to do this and that and whatever. But it's another thing to say, I believe in you so much that I'll get in the chariot with you and I'll go to battle with you because I believe what the word said. And I'm not going to send you out by yourself. Everyone needs a champion in their chariot that said, I believe in the word of God and believe in you enough that I will ride with you until you are victorious in whatever God has put before you to do. Amen. I mean, no, we need mentors that will not just tell you what to do, but say, I'll stand with you until you get where you're going, until God fulfills his promise in you. Hallelujah. There's something powerful about that, and to leave a legacy that speaks to generations yet to come. Many people pay the price for where we are in this day and this season. Saul has an encounter on the road to Damascus with papers in his hand. And he's going to persecute the Christians. But the scripture tells us that on his way, he gets thrown to the ground. And he sees a light and he hears a voice. And said, Saul, Saul, why are you fighting me? Why do you kick against the pricks? And he's smote with blindness, goes down to the house of the Jews in Damascus, and he sends a man named Ananias and said, hey, Paul's in town. I need you to go over and lay hands on him that his eyes might be open. And Ananias says, what? You do know who this guy is, right? Yeah, like, Lord, you do know that this is the very man who's coming to arrest us for preaching the gospel. If he's blind, good enough for him. Right? Because isn't that how we think? And he said, no, I want you to go lay hands on him. I want you to have the scales fall from his eyes because I have chosen him to take the message to the Jew and to the Gentile. And they laid hands on him, and the scales fell from his eyes, and he is transformed and changed. How many know there's a conversion in Saul? Not only in name, but in nature. Hallelujah. And then they want to arrest him for preaching the gospel, but he's got some buddies that let him down in a basket over a wall. I preached last Sunday on being a basket case. Anybody remember Saul was a basket case? They let him down over the wall in a basket, and a Barnabas became his encourager. The name Barnabas means son of encouragement. How many know everybody needs someone who can encourage them, that can be in a Barnabas, that can speak life to them or lift them up or encourage them in taking the next step? How many know sometimes people on the verge of taking the next step, they just need a little nudge to say, you got this. You got this. I watched a video this morning Bethany had posted of Carolina when she was just about, what, maybe 1 year old or whatever, and they're trying to get her to jump. And she's just barely walking good, and they say, go ahead, jump, jump. And she does this and hits the ground. She's so proud of herself because she thought she jumped. She really didn't have jump under control. But how many know you just need somebody to say, go ahead and jump, go ahead and do it. You know, many times in our life we're on the verge of doing something. We just need somebody to say, you can do this, go ahead, jump. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give it a try. It might not work the first time, but if you keep doing it, eventually you can jump. Hallelujah. Now she can do handspring or cartwheels and all those kind of things, but you got to start somewhere, and you need somebody to encourage you. I want to read the scripture today. Let's go ahead and we'll read James, because I gave that to you first on the list, and then I'll get to my text for today. James chapter 5 says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do we have any righteous people in here today? Amen. 3, 4. Yeah. Let's try that again. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do we have any righteous people in here today? That looks better. If you don't know anything else, you should know by now that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. That he who knew no sin became sin. Why? So that you could become the righteousness of God in Christ. That was accomplished at the cross. Yep. He's made you righteous or in right standing with him. We think that means holy. Choir, you know, glow in the dark. Never have any failures or problems. Your righteousness doesn't even depend on your actions. It said he became sin so that you could become the righteousness of God in Christ. That he put you in right standing. Righteousness doesn't mean you don't have issues from time to time. Hallelujah. But it means the power of Christ in you is more powerful than any action you can take. Do you know that there's nothing you can do in your own flesh? Listen to this. Nothing that you can do in your own flesh that's more powerful than what Jesus did on the cross. Yep. Nothing more powerful than what Jesus did on the cross for you. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Acts chapter 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Herod is persecuting the church. And he killed James, the brother of John. Peter, James, and John in the sailboat. James and John, the sons of thunder. And killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, or the Passover. And when he had apprehended him, what's my place? When he apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered to him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said to him, get this, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on your sandals. And he saith unto them, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through 1 street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, John Mark's house, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda, and when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. Peter is thrown into jail for preaching the gospel. James is killed by the sword. A great price has been paid for the gospel that we have and that we believe. And that we hear. Amen? And so here's Peter, and he's in the jail, and he's chained with chains for preaching the gospel. He's not a murderer. He didn't steal anything. He's chained, and there's guards at the door, right? And they're guarding him, and there's guards out front that are guarding him. The scripture says that the angel comes to him, pokes him, because Peter is asleep. Who sleeps when you're hanging there by chains in a prison, right? He pokes him and he says to him, Peter, wake up and put your clothes on and your shoes and grab your cloak and come with me. And Peter thinks it's a dream. Now, the reason I said I wanted you to think about that word, gird thyself, I don't have time to read the scripture, but I want to go back for just a moment. When Jesus is sitting on the shore with Peter, after the crucifixion, after the denial, after all that's taken place, and Peter says, "I'm going fishing," the rest of them said, "Then we're going with you." Because sometimes when you don't know what to do, you go back to what used to work, right? And so when they go back to what used to work, it's not working anymore. Jesus stands on the shore and he said, "Do you have any meat? Did you catch anything? How's the fishing today, boys?" They said, "No." He said, "Then cast your net on the right side of the ship." Now, if you're a true fisherman, professional, generational fisherman, you know how to fish, right? "Cast your net on the right side of the ship." Do you really think that these guys have not tried that side of the ship? Do you have a favorite fishing hole? Favorite fishing spot? Favorite fishing lure? We got fishermen in here. You have favorite things that you know what to catch with what? So if it's not working, you got some tricks, right? He said, "Cast your net on the other side of the ship." And so out of obedience, they did. But when they are obedient to the word, how many know the scripture said their net was so full, they couldn't hardly drag it in. Now, they didn't recognize his voice when he spoke, but they recognized it when it produced something. When the net was full, all of a sudden, they look at each other and said, "I know who that is. I recognize that voice. I recognize those miracles." Yeah. And they pull it in, and Peter doesn't wait for the boat to come to shore. He cast himself in the water, and he swims to shore. And Jesus already has fish sandwiches ready for them on the shore. He did not even need their fish. Can I just tell you, God does not need your actions as much as he needs your obedience. Because your obedience will produce the actions needed to accomplish what he wants to do. And all of a sudden, there's a realization that God is still right in the midst of us. And he sits on the shore with Peter. And you know this so much. He asks him, "Peter, do you love me?" He says, "Lord, you know I love you." And he asks him three times. But he says something to Peter. He said, "Peter, when you're young, you will gird yourself. Put your own clothes on. But when you're old, another will gird you and carry you where you don't want to go." And this he did, signifying the death of Peter. I submit to you today that Peter can sleep in that prison between guards with his hands in chains because Peter still had the ability to put his own shoes on and to gird himself and to clothe himself. He said, I'm not old yet. Can I say to you, Peter says, this ain't the end for me. I got a promise from the Messiah, from the Master that said, when you're old, someone else will carry you and dress you. But if you still got the ability to get dressed yourself, I still got purpose for you. I still got calling for you. You're sometimes when you have to be in places that's not a comfortable place for you, that you have to rely on the promise of God that says it ain't over till I say it's over. And if you can still gird yourself, then there's still purpose for you. There's still calling. There's still destiny for you. Get up, Peter. Put your own clothes on. Get your own shoes on because there's purpose in your life. Peter knew he was not old yet. He knew he could still dress himself. He knew the Master had promised, Peter, when you're old. Somebody raise your hand in here today and say, I'm not old. It ain't over till it's over. I'm not done until the promises of God are fulfilled in my life in every way. Can I tell you, His goodness is running after you today. The promises of God are yes and amen. And if you can still put your shoes on, put them on. Whether you got to put on your running shoes, your dancing shoes, your combat boots, whatever you got to do for the day, put them on and get out of the place where you are. Can I just tell you that jail and that holding place was only temporary. Hallelujah. But there was a church that was standing behind Peter that said, you might be in chains, but we're going to cease not to pray night and day. And we're going to believe God to the point that when God did it, they're so shocked by His miracles. They said, Rhoda, you must have lost your mind. She said, well, if I lost my mind, I lost my mind for Jesus, because I'm telling you, Peter's at the door. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm ready for the miracles that astonish me. You might think me mad. You might think me crazy, but I'm going to tell you, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And don't you give up until you hear the knock on the door and somebody says, there's your miracle. Hallelujah. And I know all of us in here are believing for things and praying for things, praying for family, praying for direction in your life. I want you to know that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You are not done. I don't care what kind of prison cell it looks like. Get your shoes on, get dressed, and get out of here. If you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep going. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear will not dominate me, even in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. Hallelujah. Put your shoes on. I mean, like I said, there's some days I got to get up and put on my combat boots. And there's some days I get up and put on my tennis shoes, my running shoes. And some days my roller skates. And some days my dancing shoes. Amen? Because who knows what is before us, the task at hand. How many know you got to dress for the task at hand? Get up, Peter. Dress yourself. And go out of this place. Because there's a church that's got your back. That's praying for you. That is praying day and night and saying, God, I don't care what it looks like. He ain't old yet. He ain't finished yet. He ain't done yet, because your promise said, Peter, one day you'll be old and somebody else will have to dress you. But you get up and put on your own shoes today. You get up and put on your own robe of righteousness. You go ahead and clothe yourself with the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Go ahead and get up and dress yourself, Peter, because there's purpose and destiny ahead of you. Hallelujah. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I believe that Peter held on to the promise of God until the day came when it was fulfilled. I'm not old yet. Come on, anybody in here, say, I'm not old yet. I can still put on my shoes. I can still put on my clothes. God still has purpose. God still has a plan for our life. Hallelujah. Don't set up camp where you are and don't get comfortable there. Because God brings Peter out of that place and out of that prison cell because there's a promise of God, and his promises are yes and amen. Jesus, in that same, in the scripture where Jesus takes the bread and the wine and he sits with the disciples, he says to Peter, he said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you and sift you as wheat. But, that word but means behold unfailing truth. But, sometimes you've got to put your but in the situation. But, I have prayed for you that your faith fail you not. And when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. How many know Peter's got Jesus praying for him? Satan has desired to have you and sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith fail you not. Hallelujah. He said if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. I got a mustard seed faith, and I know how to use it. Come on, you are equipped with faith. And we activate the activated faith and the action figures of Acts. The ability to say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. Get up. Get up and walk into all that God has just paid for. All that he's made available. Hallelujah. All that we have access to. Stand on your feet with me this morning. Hallelujah. I pray God stirs up our prayer life. That God stirs up our ability to see him in the midst of every situation. To bring to remembrance the promises of God that he spoke over our lives. Hallelujah. And to trust him with that mustard seed faith. That no matter what, God, you've got this. I love that. Peter, I prayed for you. Hallelujah. I prayed for you that your faith fail you not. Get up and get dressed, Peter. Hallelujah. Put on the garment of praise. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Gird your loins with truth. Go ahead, get up. Get dressed. Put your shoes on. Hallelujah. And walk out of this place in the victory of what God has given us this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As Beth plays this morning, if you want prayer, please feel free to come on down. We'd love to pray for you. Our altars are always open for salvation, for healing, for prayer, for guidance, whatever it is that you need. Hallelujah. It's been paid for. Amen. It's been paid for. We just have to cash in on the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Lord, we speak healing in this house today. Lord, we speak comfort in this house today. We speak provision in this house today. Hallelujah. Lord, you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. That there's nothing too difficult for you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are activating the power of the Holy Spirit in us to move through us, Lord, and to connect with creation. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.